Let's go to John 3, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to read them out of the Passion Translation. It reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." It's very important to understand that. God did not give his one and only unique Son. He didn't give us a gift so that the world will perish. He gave us the gift so that everyone could experience everlasting life. And he didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to judge. He came to save and to rescue. And one of the things that I learned from one of our founding pastors, Pastor Clint Nutterbach, he always said that the Word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. And every time you turn it, you see something different. And I take some things literally. And so when I look at the Word and when I'm studying or reading anything, I want to see something different. Nothing wrong with the Word. You know, nothing wrong with it at all. I like getting new revelations. I like getting different insights as to just how I can use this Word that God gave me. And so I started thinking about Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, which we know as the love script. We call them the love scriptures. And I said, well, why am I thinking about that in terms of Christmas? And then the diamond started turning. And I started seeing some things a little differently. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. It is not bitter. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person and is hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything. And I mean everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So therefore, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what transpires, it is absolutely impossible to fall out of love. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I mean, I met someone, I used to love them and I don't love them anymore. You never love them. Because for you to have loved them and stopped means the Bible's not true. And the Bible says love never fades out, never comes to an end. So really, you were never in love. You may have been in like, or you may have been in lust, but you were not in love because love never, ever fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And you're probably wondering what that has to do with Christmas. Everything. In 1 John 4, verse 7 to 10 in the Message Bible, says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. That's a good thing to say right where you are. Say, God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. Now listen to this part. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world. God sent his only son into the world. God created Christmas so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. When you love, you'll do whatever is necessary to clear away sin and correct any damage done to relationships. Why? Because you love. How? The same way God loves. And Christmas is God modeling, this is what you do when you really love someone. This is what you'll do for them. This is what you'll provide for them. This is what you'll give them because you love them. I'm going to read the definition and I'll share the word. It says, a standard or example for imitation or comparison. A representation generally in miniature to show the construction or appearance of something. If you said that sounds like the definition of model, you're absolutely right. Give yourselves an A. Because a model is a standard or example for imitation or comparison. Christmas is God modeling how we are supposed to love. We're supposed to look at what he did and imitate him. And I share that because, like I said, yes, we know Christmas is the birth of our Savior, but when you look at why the Savior was born, it was because God so loved. God loved mankind, and no matter what mankind did, God was not going to give up on mankind, period. God was saying, with Christmas, God is saying, this is how love is done. And so I want all my children to take note of this. Now listen to John 3:16 and 17 again, but in the contemporary English version of the Bible. It said, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son. Who did God love? He loved the people of this world so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the people of the world. He sent him to save them. Now, when you think about it, it doesn't say that God loved some of the people. It doesn't say God loved most of the people. It clearly says God loved the people. That means he loved all the people on this planet, all the people that will ever wind up on this planet. And it's clarified in verse 17 where it said God did not send his son into this world to condemn its people. Its people, the people of the world. God didn't send his son to condemn them. He sent his son to save them all, to save all of the people in the world. Colossians 3, that's all right, folks, you don't have that one. We just added that. Colossians 3, verse 10 to 14 in the Message Bible says, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Verse 12, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. And like it said, like those commercials about the American Express card, never be without it. Never leave home without it. Never be in your home without it. Christmas was birthed out of God's love for all people. Christmas is a reminder to us that we're to show love to all people, period. Sinners and saints. It doesn't matter. People of all races, all creeds, all economic backgrounds. It does not matter. Their political views don't matter. None of it matters. We are called to love them because our Father loves them. And our Father showed it. He demonstrated it. He's modeling it. He didn't just say, I love you and let it go with that. He showed it by his actions. And he's modeling for us how we can show by our actions that we love the people so much that we're willing to give even the thing that's most precious to us. If it'll help the people, we're willing to give it. If it will help the people, say, if it'll help the people, I'm willing to give it. I know I heard some of you say, I'm not so sure about that. Well, hopefully you will be, because that's what God is showing. That's what God is demonstrating. That's what God is modeling. He said he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He didn't have a drawer full of Jesus' descent. His only begotten son just because he loved us. You say, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do the same thing. Well, look at John 20. We'll see if you still have that same question after I read verses 19 to 21, King James Version. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were in hiding, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus just walked through the walls. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And then listen to what he said. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now I have a question. Why do you think Jesus, when he came into the room, he said, peace be unto you. He said that so everybody wouldn't run out of the room. But then he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. He was doing that because he wanted them to see the nail prints in his hand. They wanted him to see the wound in the side where they shoved the spear in his side. And he did that because he wanted them to know he was authentic. He wanted them to know he was the real deal. Once they realized they were really talking to the Christ, they got happy. They were excited, and they received what he had to offer. Later on that scripture says he breathed on them, and they all received the Holy Ghost. The same way Jesus was sent, he has sent us. And Christmas is a reminder that demonstrating love is what authenticates us as being with Christ. Look at John 13. we're familiar with this. I'm going to share it in the Message Bible. John 13, beginning with verse 34. I'm read two verses. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you loved one another." And the question is, how did Jesus love them? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." Father gave Jesus some instructions on what he was supposed to do, what he was to do when he was born into this world, and Jesus followed the instructions to the letter. To the letter. And he told us the only way people will recognize that we are his disciples is when they see the love we have for each other. The only way people will recognize that we are with Christ is when they see us demonstrating the same love that God demonstrated, when they see us modeling the same love that God modeled. That's why Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God, to copy him, follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. Children that know that they're loved are going to imitate what they see their father doing, the way they see their father, their parents loving. Children are going to imitate what they see you do because they love you. My sons loved me. They were imitating me doing some things that weren't right because I wasn't always a Christian. And when I saw it, it stunned me, because they were imitating me. And I had to get my life in order, because they're still going to imitate me, but I wanted them to imitate the right thing. We as his children, we have an obligation to operate in the same manner as our father. And Christmas, the birth of Christ, was and is God modeling, this is how you operate, based on 1 Corinthians 13. This is 1 Corinthians 13 in action. Love endures long. It's patient and kind. God loved mankind before the world began. Look at Titus 1. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Titus 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So before the world was a world, God decided that man was going to have eternal life. He promised it. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10 out of the Living Bible, says, "It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because it was his plan long before the world began to show his love and kindness to us through Christ." You know, think about that. God's plan to show his love and kindness to us, he planned long before the world began. Long before. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. His love is made plain to us by Christmas, because the Christ child was born, because the Christ child was given, because the Christ child, our Savior, came and he broke the power of death and showed us the way to of everlasting life through trusting in him. The one thing, I couldn't find the exact number, but I was researching different articles, and I found that the birth of Christ happened, you know, I'm talking about love being patient, love enduring long and being patient. Patient. I'll say it once more, patient. The birth of Christ happened approximately 4,000 years after Adam and Eve sinned. So when God said the seed of the woman would break the lordship of the ruler, which was a direct reference to his plan for the redemption of man, he still had to wait over 4,000 years for the Christ child to be born. God planned out Christmas 4,000 years before it happened. He actually had it all planned out before the world began. I don't know how many thousands of years that was. But God waited. He was patient. He never threw in the towel. He didn't say, forget this. I'm not waiting this long. I'll scrap this bunch. I'll make me some new people. And I'll wire this bunch so that they'll listen to me. No, that's not what he wanted. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Love will say, this is how you should be doing this. But if you don't do it, love doesn't slap you around and say, forget you, I'm not talking to you anymore until you get it right. Love keeps on telling you, this is the way to go. I love you. I wouldn't tell you a lie. This is the way to go. No matter how many times you keep going the wrong way, love is always there saying, this is the right way. It's always going to point you in the right direction. Always, always, always. It's God modeling patience and kindness. If God didn't operate in the parameters of love, he would have never sent Christ. But he operated in the parameters. 1 Peter 4. Verse 8, Amplified Bible, says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. One of the things that people should be doing if around this season, around the Christmas season, quote unquote, is they should be putting aside their differences. And for the most part, as I walk in and out of stores and up and down the streets, you know, when you live in a community, you recognize faces. And there's some people out see you, and because if I make eye contact with someone, I'm saying hi, good morning. So I mean, that's just me. But there's some people who won't even speak to you. But Christmas time comes, they'll say Merry Christmas. Or they'll say Happy Holidays. Or they'll say, you know, they'll make a joke about it. Whatever it is you celebrate, have a happy one. All the other times of the year, they won't give you the time of day. But something about Christmas, it's like the people know that love is in the air. They don't understand it. They don't know what to do with it. But that's where we come in. That's where we come in. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offense of others. I know you're not here in person. I ask you to say a lot of things, but I want you to say love covers. You know, say love covers. Okay. In Genesis 3, verse 21 in the Amplified Bible, and this is after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were, you know, God was letting them know what was going to happen as a result of their sin. In verse 21, it says, for Adam also and for his wife, the Lord God made long coats, tunics of skins, and clothed them. Where do you think the skins came from? Animals. God had to take the skin from the animals. He had to kill the animals who were innocent to cover the sins of the guilty. Why? God loved them. If you read that account in Genesis 3, the minute they sinned, they realized they were naked. The grace of God left them, and they were just out there nude and embarrassed and ashamed. And love covered their embarrassment. Love covered their shame. God was willing to sacrifice the innocent to cover the sins of the guilty because God loved them. He wasn't willing to do without them. He was demonstrating that he was willing to shed the blood of the innocent to save the guilty. Well, that's one of the principles involved in him sending Christ. He sent the innocent to die for the guilty because he so loved the guilty. And the one that he sent so loved God and so loved us that he was willing to come. So even though Adam and Eve sinned, even though they didn't show the proper appreciation for what God did for them, God loved them so much he gave them another gift, clothing. Clothing. He so loved them and he so loved us. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." And I shared this already, but in Isaiah 53:5, I didn't tell you where it was. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." It's Christ. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements for our peace," whatever was necessary for us to have peace, "was upon him." That has to mean, because God so loved us and Christ so loved us, Christ was willing to take all of the distresses, all of the stressors, everything that upsets our peace. He said, "That's okay, put it all on me. I want them to be comfortable. I want them to be stress-free." That's why I said, "Cast all your cares, every one of them, cast them all on me. Don't keep any of them for yourself. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Cast all your cares on me because I love you." That's what the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. God said, I'll take the pounding so you can be healed. Why? Because I love you. First Corinthians 13:7 says, "Love bears up under anything and everything that comes." Peter denied Christ 3 times. Judas betrayed him. All of the disciples left him. People lied on him. People cursed him. People spit on him. People mocked him. He bared up under all of that. Didn't matter. When he was in the garden and he felt the weight of all of that on him, and he was saying, "Father, if this can happen another way, let's do it. But if not, your will. If not, I love you and the people too much to not go through with this. If there's another way to show all our love to the people, fine. If there's no other way than this, let's go with it. It's going to be your will and not what my flesh wants to do." And if we're going to love the way God loved, if we're going to accept the what I call the Christmas model of God's love, then we're going to have to be willing to deal with some weighty stuff for the benefit of those whom we say we love. Because love never fades out. That means it can't get weak. You can't weaken. It never comes to an end. Never fades out. In the midst of the mess in the garden, God didn't get frustrated. He announced what he was going to do. He said, "I will put enmity, hostility, between the devil and the woman, and between your seed, devil, and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise its heel. So God was saying the seed of the woman is going to wipe out the lordship of the devil. And all the devil's going to be able to do is throw some persecution at him. In the midst of the mess, God spoke that redemption. Christmas was the seed of the woman coming forth in the birth of Christ. The seed of the woman who has no seed. Even when mankind failed God and disregarded God and disrespected God, God refused to give up. Because he so loved that he sent his son. He so loved that he had his son born. He so loved that he allowed Christmas. Because love endures long and is patient and kind. That's God so loved the world before the world began, and he's been giving to the world ever since he first so loved it. He wants us to know how to love like him. We read earlier that God is love. Genesis 1 tells us that we're made in the image and in the likeness of the Godhead. We, mankind, is made. God said, I love them so much. I'm going to make them in my image and my likeness, and they're going to have the same dominion I have. Knowing what man's history is going to be, knowing how many times man was going to mess up, turn their backs on God, disobey God, he still loved us and followed through on his Christmas plan so that we would have a Savior and that our damaged relationship could be restored. Christmas is the perfect model of God's love in action, in operation. So when you think about Christmas, you need to remember that in addition to the birth of the Christ child, or you could say it this way, the birth of the Christ child was God modeling his love. God allowing to come forth that which would heal and restore. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers it. The birth of Christ was God modeling love that's outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. And after you've thought about it, after you've allowed it to roll around in your head, the next thing to do is to stop thinking about it and go out and do it. Go out and do it. Yep, you're going to have to reconcile with that family member that talked about you like a dog or did something horrendous to you. But whatever they did, it's not worse than what we've done with God. And God forgave us. God covered us. So instead of exposing that person to the family, you need to cover them because love covers a multitude of sins. Whatever they did, your love for them will cover it. You're a believer? That's the Christmas spirit. Loving one another the same way God loves. The same way Christ loves. That's the Christmas spirit. That's why I keep saying Christmas is the love model. It's God modeling for us how we are supposed to love. And he's perfect. So if we model him, we will love perfectly. So again, enjoy the presence, but allow his presence to shine through you, because I guarantee you the people will appreciate the presence of God flowing through you more than they'd appreciate presents that you may have placed under the tree. God bless you. Don't forget this. Do not forget this. Christmas is God's modeling his love, modeling how to love, modeling all the parameters of love, making it easy for us to follow in his steps. Father, we thank you for the word that you shared with us tonight, Lord. We thank you that by your Holy Ghost, we'll get revelation as to just what we're supposed to do with the word we've heard, and alert us to all of the circumstances and situations that we come into that call for us to respond in love. And really, there is never a circumstance where we're supposed to respond apart or outside of the parameters of love. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all those that heard and will hear what you had to share with us this evening. And I thank you, Lord, that as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day, the revelation will get stronger and stronger in all of the people. Thank you, Father, for your love model, how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I let you go, you have two things I want to do. First of all, if there's anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so, because there's no way that you can follow God's model of love unless you accept the Christmas miracle, the person of Jesus. Remember, he said he sent Jesus so that all men might be saved. So why didn't he say will be saved? Because some people are not going to receive him. And we don't want you to be one of them. So just say this after me. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, and then was buried and went to hell in my place. I also believe that after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I'm turned to you and I'm asking you, come into my heart, into my life. Turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, asking you, make something new of me. It's in your name that I pray. Well, according to the Bible, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You made the confession. If you believed it, you just got born again. What we're asking you to do is to contact us. The information's on the screen. And all we're going to do is send you some free information to help you get started on this new path, to help you understand what it means now to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things are passed away and everything has become new. You no longer have a past, and boy, do you have a great future. So call us, contact us, email us, you know, and we'll get the information to you. And also, if you have any questions or comments about tonight's teaching, use the same contact information and contact me. Pastor Greg, I have a question, or I have a praise report, whatever it is. Love to hear from you. I will respond to each one. May not be the same day, but I will respond.